Welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction haunt entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And happy for many of you opening weekend was this past week. Judging from what's going on in our area and other areas we follow,
right,
a lot of haunts opened their doors this weekend and hope it was a successful and safe opening and that everyone got lots of scares and lots of money was made.
Yes.
That sounds about right, actually, doesn't it?
Yes, I think that's the best you can wish for an opening weekend.
Yes, I hope the bugs are shaken out, were found and are being shaken out, and
yes. Actors showed up on time, nothing broke, and customers showed up too.
Yeah, issues we've seen on opening night, and the fire alarm going off randomly.
Yeah.
That happened at one haunt we went to. Unable to open due to actors not showing up.
Right.
Had that one happen, or opening really late because of that.
Yeah.
We've seen some stuff, and we've experienced some stuff ourselves in our haunt.
Yeah.
Hopefully none of that happened to you.
Nope.
But definitely, if it was your opening weekend, hope it was a great one. This is, of course, if you did not know from the intro, it is Haunt Weekly. You can find us at hauntweekly.com. We are Haunt Weekly on Twitter and Facebook. And tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel where all previous episodes are available for quick and easy playback. Enjoy while you're there. We're also available on Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, everywhere that finer podcasts are sold. Except Google Play tried to screw us this week.
Yeah.
We're on to you, Google.
Yes.
Trying to keep the man down.
I'm sure that's exactly how that happened.
The man trying to keep us down. Sorry.
They just found out we weren't a finer podcast.
Well, it took them 140 fucking episodes to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, this is true.
Who says Google is all-knowing and all-seeing? They can't see why kids love Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, God. And date yourself nicely, I think.
No, I'm so old. If you understood that reference, please let us know it on Weekly on Facebook. Because, dear God, I need a friend. but yes. Yeah, we apologize. There was an issue with Google Play last week. It went live some days later. It was not on our end. It was not on our host end. It was something with Google Play. What? We don't know. We went in and said it was processing the podcast. And I guess it just took 4 days to process for some reason.
Yeah.
It was some weirdness. And apparently we weren't the only ones bit by it, so I shouldn't feel too bad.
Right. Wanted to send out a quick thank you to Chris Gay for noticing and letting us know that it was down on Google Play.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Thank you for the heads up on that.
All right.
We are two iPhone users. We don't notice the Google Play issue.
Yeah.
And honestly, we don't subscribe to our own podcast. We were here.
Yeah, we probably should. We could get those numbers up.
I do subscribe to it, but mostly to check and make sure it goes live. That's it. I don't feel the need to download and re-listen to it. After all, I edited it. Well, edited. The quotes around it are huge. Anyways, let's talk about something else. Conference reminders.
Yes.
It's an odd episode. Crystal, you're the oddball. Please kick us off.
All right. It's Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween Show Part 2, September 29th in Houston, Texas at the Crown Plaza Hotel, Brook Hollow. Tons of vendors and limited vendor spots are still available. Hosted by Scary Dad Podcast, NightmareTreat.com.
Nightmare Retreat.
Nightmare Retreat.
Yeah, I know, it's confusing.
There's two R's together.
It re-rees. It's got a re-re.
All right. NightmareRetreat.com.
Yeah.
For more info.
It's got the re-re going. That's weird. I know, and you don't see it the first dozen times you look at it.
Because Nightmare Treat sounds like an awesome thing for haunting.
If that domain's not registered, you should probably register it.
Let me just check.
All right, well, you do that. Also on September 29th in Phoenix, Arizona, it's the Arizona Haunts Haunted Swap Meet at the northeast corner of Earl Drive. That's Earl with two L's and 15th Avenue, hosted by the Arizona Haunters Forum, azhaunters.com. For more info, go to the calendar. It's where the details are. What'd you find out?
It is not bought.
Ooh.
It's available. Mm. So, then, Dark History and Horror Con. November 9th and 10th in Champaign, Illinois at the Garden Hotel Urbana. Tickets are just $20 for the weekend and $10 per day. Includes a film festival. DHHCon.com because it's not pronounceable.
It just flat out is not. Okay, after that, November 9th and 10th, after season now with these two, in Salt Lake City, Utah, it's the Legendary Haunt Tour. At the meeting at the Holiday Inn Express, we'll be touring Nightmare on 13th and Fear Factory, among others. Details still to be announced at Legendary Haunt Tour, two T's, just like the reread, the two T's here, legendaryhaunttour.com.
All right. And then January 25th through 27th, it is HauntCon Halloween and Party Expo here in New Orleans at the Ernest and Memorial Convention Center. We will be involved somehow. We've already been talking to people on Haunt Chat about how we're going to meet up.
Apparently, we're getting drunk and stealing golf carts in the French Quarter now.
Well, so we might not be a part of that, but we might hear about that.
Oh, that's the part we might hear about. We're not participating in that part.
No.
Okay. Yes.
Well, anyway, HauntCon.com for more info there about the actual, you know, convention, not about whatever shenanigans we get up to.
Yes, indeed. Our shenanigans will be on our site, which is HauntWeekly.com.
Exactly.
And Haunt Weekly on Twitter and Facebook. Blah, blah, blah. Got to get them all in. Okay, after that, February 23rd and 24th in Pomona, California, it's Haunt X, the Haunters DIY Expo at the Fairplex. Details sparse, but coming forth at HauntX.com.
Okay, that looks like it.
Oh, man. Well, we have... Well, first things first...
I'm like, what am I supposed to read next? It's all got lines through it. Oh, that's because...
That's because we organize our conferences like, you know, like idiots.
Yes.
We could do something like a calendar, but no, we have a bullet list.
Well, there is a calendar over on Haunter's Toolbox.
Which we'll be discussing in this episode, actually, at some length. But yeah. First things first, just in case you were a Google Play user... and didn't hear the announcement last week.
Or heard it late.
Or heard it late or whatever.
Or you've forgotten, because it's been a week and you've slept since then.
It's been a minute. To repeat our announcement from last week, we have dates that we will be available to meet and greet in the Chicago area. October 5th and 6th, we will be joining Jake's Palace and the Lost Souls Bus Tour in Chicago, Illinois. Sweet God, am I excited about this. We've been kind of planning it for a year, but finally the tickets are bought. Everything's coming together. We're going. We have the Airbnb. We've never stayed in an Airbnb before.
Yeah.
I don't know how any of this works, man. I'm as scared about that as I am the Haunts. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Staring at some stranger's bedroom, man. It's bizarre. But yes, we are so, so excited. We're going to get to meet Brewster Bonesaw.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very interesting. We're also going to get to tour six great Chicago area haunts, including Dead Rising, Midnight Terror, Hell's Gate, plus a Lights On tour of Hell's Gate later that night. Fentanyl 6, it's Basement of the Dead, Statesville Prison, and Evil Intentions. And then there's an after party after that. All of this is going to be on a bus with a full bar, cash bar. And basically, it's going to be a rockin' night. Three haunts a night, two nights, and we will be available the 6th during the day.
The 6th during the day and the 7th, because we will be there all day Sunday.
Yes, we'll be there all day Sunday. So if you're in the area, want to meet up, want to hang out, let us know. We'll be on the north side of the city,
right,
which is where the tours are departing from.
Yeah.
We'll be in that general area. But yeah, if you are in that area, want to meet up, want to hang out, Do the Lost Souls bus tour. Do the Lost Souls bus tour. It's going to be awesome.
Yes. And if you're going to go with us to those haunts, let us know. We would like to be able to say hello.
Yes. We will be there, Haunt Weekly shirts on, so we'll be easy to spot.
Yeah.
We will be making our presence known. And I'm sure, depending upon how much alcohol is consumed, quite loudly by the end of it.
Yes. You know, I've had enough to drink when I start singing.
I gotta say, though, you sing quite well.
I didn't say it was a bad thing.
No, that's usually my first sign to myself. what were we watching where it's like, you gotta drink enough to get over the stage fright, but not so much that you can't sing?
Yeah.
That's a very delicate line to ride there.
It is.
But yes, it's going to be awesome. We're really looking forward to the Lost Souls Bus Tour.
Yeah.
Cannot wait. October 5th and 6th, we will be there. Let us know if you're coming with us, because it's going to be great. All right, and other news. A lot of haunts opening, as we mentioned, was our first weekend visiting haunts.
Right.
We made it out to New Orleans Nightmare House, which is the place that took over the location of the House of Shock.
Right.
Now, we're going to do a full review of this. In fact, we're trying to get our studio set up.
Yeah.
Full video review of it on Garbage Horror. So stay tuned to garbagehorror.com, which is where we do the reviews of haunts. But yeah, basically, you know, haunt season's officially started for us.
Yeah.
It's what it means. I mean,
it is. So it means that we get to plan haunt visits, plus the working in the haunt, plus the day jobs.
Plus the podcast, plus the video reviews, plus.
Yes. So the video reviews, we're going to try to get them out regularly on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
And if we do two on a week, we're going to try to do Wednesday and Thursday. Now, what the hell we're going to do when we do six in one weekend? We haven't thought that far in advance.
Three a day.
Oh, shit.
There you go.
Yeah, you don't have to edit that crap, do you, Crystal?
No.
Notice who's the editor here. Who does the editing of the videos?
Well, that's because we changed the software, and I don't... Anyway, we could try to...
We'll figure something out. It's fine. But no. So, yeah, we will definitely be doing those at garbagehorror.com and getting caught up there. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned, hopefully, on Wednesday for that.
Yes.
All right, everyone. So this week's topic was sparked by a question.
Yes.
It was on Haunter's Toolbox, which we were just discussing just a mere second ago, and it was posted by Lori Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a question that actually, it turns out, has been asked in various forms multiple times, not just there, but in other Haunter groups. But this one articulated it so well, it felt like a really good place for us to start.
Right. And it's something that we've talked about off and on for a while.
And we've even mentioned it, I think, a few times in passing on the podcast, but never really sunk our teeth into.
Right.
So guess what? We're doing it now.
Yeah.
Let me read the question. My boyfriend and I are looking to start a haunt. Yay! We're currently looking for land. Boo. Looking for land sucks.
Yeah.
How far are most haunt enthusiast customers willing to drive? We can find a large amount of acreage about 45 minutes to an hour outside the city at a reasonable price, but worried it's too far off any major arteries, we won't get the necessary traffic. How have your experiences been? Thanks in advance. And this sparked a really good conversation, as Haunter's Toolbox is want to do.
Yeah.
Seriously, guys, if you are not a part of Haunter's Toolbox, the Facebook group, or ideally the site...
Yeah.
You know, you should definitely join that, too.
Right.
But if you're not a member of the Facebook group, at the very least, absolutely do so.
Yes. Why aren't you?
Why aren't you?
Why aren't we seeing you there?
Why aren't we? It's your fault. You're to blame. But, you know, a lot of good answers. I'm from Jen Golly. People will drive if you have a good product, but you better have a big budget for that to happen. Brian Foreman, the proprietor, jumped in and said, I've had customers drive over 3 hours. But they are the diehards, not my normal customers. Most about 45 minutes are the furthest. Marketing and signage will help.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Gay, the aforementioned Chris Gay, jumped in. Sure, diehards will travel far, but 90% of your clients aren't diehards. Ease of access is perhaps just as important as distance. Make sure the address is GPSable, which if it's not a word, it absolutely should be.
Yeah, because we've almost gone into a canal because it wasn't GPSable.
Looking at the old Chamber of Horrors.
Yes.
It says turn right here.
Yeah. It's like, if I turn there, we're going to be in the water. Yeah.
There's a lot of water in that area.
Yeah.
A lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
And easy enough to give directions to. Jim Warfield was Jim Warfield.
Yeah.
If you know anything about Jim Warfield, you know exactly what that means.
Yes.
If you don't know Jim Warfield, go back and listen to our episode where we did an interview with him.
Right.
And it's easily the most entertaining hour I think we've had.
Yeah.
Don't know about informative, but it was definitely entertaining.
Yeah.
That was very informative, too. Who am I kidding?
Yeah.
He was a great guy to spend an hour. It really was just amazing.
And that was episode 87.
Yes, that's a great episode. One of my favorite episodes, actually, I think. Okay. I love the ones where we get to do interviews like that, and Jim is always a fun guy to sit down with.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm just impressed we got him to sit for an hour.
Yeah.
Thinking about it. Having spent a couple of days around Jim Warfield, having him sit stationary for an hour was probably the most impressive part of that.
Love you, Doom.
And finally, we do love you. And finally, Bill and Niska said, I've personally driven over 5 hours for Haunt, then drove 5 hours back. People will definitely make the trip if it's worth it. Make it worth coming back, though, because first year results may not have be a true number as far as what to expect next year because new haunts pique people's interest.
Yeah.
And all those answers are accurate.
Yes.
I highlighted only answers and Jim Warfield who were accurate.
Yeah.
Because they all had good points and they all pointed to exactly how complicated this question is.
Right.
Which is why we wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because the reality of it is this isn't a simple question with a simple answer.
No.
Now, one thing I did try to do when we first decided we were going to cover this was I tried to sit down and find some hard statistics. I wanted, like, an average.
Yeah.
What's the average distance a customer drives to a haunted house, a haunted attraction? I could not find that information.
Yes.
It may be in, like, one of the private organizations may have it.
Mm-hmm.
But publicly available, I did not see it. Maybe I've got the wrong search terms. Maybe I've got whatever. Maybe I screwed up somewhere, but I could not find it to save my life. I tried for a good long while there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's no simple answer to this because there are very few things we can say for certain about this particular issue. One of the things we can say, though, is the further away your haunt is, the less likely someone is to go to it.
Yeah, that seems fair enough. That seems accurate.
I mean, we live in New Orleans.
Yes.
We are much more likely to go to a New Orleans haunt than, say, a Lafayette haunt.
Right. Yeah, we haven't made it out to Lafayette in a few years. We were going to try this year, but then schedule blew up, and yeah.
This year's schedule is all kinds of jacked, and we're even skipping local haunts that we normally go to.
Yeah.
It's a long story short, long, long mess there. But anyways, but yeah, the further it is, the less likely someone is going to go to it.
Right.
It's realistically that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because there's two costs associated with every haunt. Well, every attraction, really.
Yeah.
But every haunt, since this is Haunt Weekly and we focus on haunts.
Really?
I know. Crazy idea, right? We don't just do random asides about people we've had on the podcast for 10 minutes.
No, never.
No.
We never go off the rails.
No. But there are two costs. One is obviously money.
Right.
The ticket price, but also the price in gas and snacks and whatever to go. There's other monetary costs. But mostly we're thinking ticket price there. And the other is time.
Yes.
And haunts, we tend to be pretty bad at thinking about the time cost.
Yeah. Because time is valuable.
Yeah.
Time is really valuable.
Technically, according to some people, time is money.
Exactly.
So really the costs are just money squared.
Yes.
I don't know how this one works.
I'm not
good at this math.
Yeah, that seems right.
But the point is, just as with money, people are not logical about how they spend their time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because like, there was a very lengthy conversation on Facebook the other day. Some musician friends of mine were talking about how people will, you know, go to a bar and spend $30 on drinks.
Right.
But they'll only tip the band on stage $2.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is ridiculous, especially if you're sitting there enjoying the band or if you went there just to listen to the band.
Yeah. Tip. Yes. Tip your bands, goddammit.
Yeah.
But people don't always make logical decisions where to spend their money.
Right.
And there's the old adage that something's worth what people are willing to pay for it. That's true with time and money both.
Yes.
Now, a good example of the time issue is it happened locally in previous years. It's
right.
Not an issue now.
Right, and I believe that we've mentioned it before.
But it bears repeating. When House of Shock was open, because of their queue line, because of the stage show, and because of just how slow things moved there most nights.
And how popular they were.
And how popular it was. But also the fact they did choke out their own throughput.
Right, they did.
Quite foolishly, I think. But because of that, if we count driveway to driveway, when we left our house and when we got back, driveway to driveway, it was faster for us to leave here, drive the over an hour to go to Rise, visit all three attractions there. That time it was the Big House, the Asylum, and Zombie Paintball, and come home.
Right.
Than it was for us to drive literally across the river and go to the House of Shock.
Yeah.
That's how long it was. But the thing about it is I would ask people all the time, hey, have you gone to Rise? Have you gone, ask my other haunts, have you gone to Rise? People say, oh, no, I won't go to Rise. It's too far away. It takes too long to get there.
Yeah.
And similarly, Rise is about the same distance as 13th Gate in terms of time.
Right.
It's a length Rise is a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
But people that will merrily and verily go to 13th Gate from New Orleans wouldn't even consider going to Rise sometimes.
Right. And I think that there's two things there. Is one is that, yeah, people are not logical about how they spend their time. They don't think of going to a local place but spending all that time in line as being the same amount of time to go to somewhere outside of the city and get back. In this, you know.
And
the other thing is that because New Orleanians are used to being in a city, Rise seems like it's even further away than another city.
Yeah, it does. And the other element of it is that city dwellers in particular have weird boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And it's especially prominent here in New Orleans. We live on the West Bank side of the river. We live in Algiers.
Right.
So we're across the river from the rest of New Orleans. We actually have a New Orleans address and a New Orleans house, but we live on the opposite side of the river from like the other 80% of the city.
Yes.
People will absolutely refuse to come to our haunt because they don't want to cross the river, even though we are literally 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
And we can vouch for this now because we've actually done some tests on this.
Right.
So we're only 15 minutes away. And 15 minutes there and here and to wherever else is not that bad for our haunt. I mean, yeah, it's only a few minutes walk through. But all things considered...
Yeah, if you come on a not Halloween night, there's usually not a long line.
Yeah.
You can get in and out and go, you know. It's I look at it as a nice beginning the night haunt to go come here and then go to another haunt and have fun there too.
Or go to your party or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to wherever you're going. But yeah, people will not cross the river.
No.
To come see it. And Chinchubas, which was also on this side of the river, faced the same problem.
Yeah. And, you know, we are not guilty of this either.
Oh, God,
because we thought that, you know, the next little town over was far, far away.
Oh, yeah, Belle Chasse. It was just so ridiculously
so
far from our house. Oh, my God.
But then I got a job there, and I started timing it because I leave as late as possible. And I'm like, it only takes 10 minutes to get here.
Crystal going to work was like, well, let's see. If I drive 80 miles an hour the whole way there.
No, I don't speed because I get tickets in the city if I do.
But still, you leave like the last millisecond. They'd be there all the time.
I do. I've got it within 5 minutes, with traffic.
So. It's pretty amazing how well you do it, actually. And the fact you are on time very consistently is even more mind-blowing to me. But anyways, And you started timing it.
Right. And it was only 10 minutes away. So then we started thinking, okay, why does this feel like so much further away?
Because you're crossing a bridge and a canal and all that
stuff.
You're
crossing a bridge. You're going through fields and stuff to get to another civilization area.
It's bucolic.
Yes, I know. So you go through all of this, you know, rural things to get to something that's a town. So
it's a small town.
It feels like it's further away. Yeah. Even though technically it's closer than downtown.
Yeah, it is. By at least a small margin. No, downtown's only 15 minutes away.
I know. I said
no, it's
technically.
It
counts.
But it is crazy to think that.
It's either 15 minutes or it's 5 hours if the bridge is backed up.
Well, the other issue is we have a part on this side of the river called the Point.
Right.
Algiers Point. It's probably one of our favorite neighborhoods in the city. If we could have afforded it, we would have bought a house there.
Yeah.
But it's also ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
But anyways, we cannot get there in under 15 minutes.
Correct.
Just because the roads you have to travel on are much slower and it's more complicated to get, more involved to get to. But we can get probably to the French Quarter in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Across the river.
Exactly.
It's bananas.
Yeah.
But we don't think of it this way.
No
one does.
No.
And when you apply this to a haunt, driving outside of a city, leaving a city, feels so much more onerous than it is.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, if you don't have anything in your area, you know, if the town mm-hmm. doesn't have its own attractions, mm-hmm. then that plays into it too. Yeah.
But yeah, but the point is, people aren't logical, but there's still no doubt the increased distance does raise the time cost.
Right.
And so you have to find a way to justify your haunt being worth that time.
Yeah.
Okay, the next statement we can definitely make, though, is that generally speaking, those who live rurally are comfortable driving further distances.
Yes.
I mean, if you have to go 50 miles for a Walmart, mm-hmm. driving an hour for a haunted house ain't a big deal.
No. And people who live in the country will definitely go to the city on weekends.
Yeah. And part of it's because if you live rurally, you don't have access to public transit, and all the stores and things are not walking distance.
Right.
Having a car, having your own transportation is life and death, quite literally.
Yeah.
So, basically, this is why it's easier to get people from the country to come to the city, rather than vice versa, because people in the city, especially if it's one with really good public transportation, right. may not own a car.
Yeah.
They might not even have a way to get to your haunt.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe you have this whiz-bang haunt that's only 30 miles outside the edge of New York City, mm-hmm. which it does get really rural really fast. Mm-hmm. Maybe you got that, but a lot of New Yorkers ain't going to have a way to get there.
Yeah.
So, something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, we know that some of our friends who weren't able to make it to the oddities market because they don't have cars. They live here, and they take public transportation everywhere.
And the Ilaria Center, and public transportation in New Orleans is horrible.
Yeah.
It's abhorrent. Mm-hmm. It truly is. We have a bus network. It runs at odd hours. It doesn't go where you would expect or think it should.
Well, we have a friend who lives on the other side of the river and works on this side of the river. For us, it's a 15-minute drive from her work to her house. It takes her over 2 hours on public transit every day to get to work.
Yeah, I don't have the patience for that, man.
No.
Yeah, but the other fact that's definitely for sure is that diehards will drive long distances for your haunt.
Yes.
But you can't run a haunt on those.
Nope.
That's like trying to build a business around the two of us.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Yeah, okay. You know, we went to Atlanta. We drove to Atlanta last year. We're flying to mm-hmm. Chicago this year. We're mad bastards like that.
Yeah.
How many people like us are there in this country? A few hundreds, maybe a few thousand?
Yeah.
I mean, a country of 400 million, how many people routinely fly or drive out of state for haunts every season?
Yeah. Who don't have some kind of monetary reason for doing it.
Who just do it for personal enjoyment. Yeah. Numbers can't be that high.
No.
They just can't be. Mm-mm. Yeah, there's probably, like I said, a few hundred of us, maybe a few thousand of us, but you're not going to run a haunt of that because you'd have to get every single one of them every year at the very least, and it's impossible.
Yeah.
So, that because of that, in general, it's best to target your local population.
Right.
And one suggestion that was in the post that I think was very, very good is to think about it in terms of time, not distance. Distance doesn't really matter.
Right.
10 miles on a 60-mile-an-hour road mm-hmm. is the exact same as 5 miles on a 30-mile-an-hour road.
Yeah.
It's not helpful. This is a time cost, not a distance cost we're talking about.
Right.
And a good example of this that we ran into was the original Chamber of Horrors here in New Orleans. They opened up in LaPlace.
Yeah.
And that's about 45 minutes to an hour outside the city. It's a small town. It's an actual town.
Right.
It has, like, people and stuff. You know?
Yes.
I've checked. People live in LaPlace.
Yes, I have a coworker who commutes in every day.
Whoa, from LaPlace?
Yeah. And it's a 40-minute drive.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyways, they tried to do all their targeting, their marketing targeting, toward New Orleans. They wanted to hit the population center. Right. It makes some degree of sense. It didn't work out very well. Motivating people to leave New Orleans to go to LaPlace proved very challenging.
Right.
But it was a little frustrating because of where they targeted the marketing. We would go as the cast.
Right.
Go to a Shoney's or the All Night Diner or whatever, in various shades of makeup and costume.
Right.
So bloody as hell, basically.
Yeah, so after closing in Laplace.
And in Laplace we go, and they would not even be aware there was a haunted house in their town.
Yeah.
It drove us a little bonkers.
Yeah.
Now, I found one of my new favorite sites while researching this. TimeTravelPlatform.com.
Travel Time Platform.
Oh, sorry, Travel Time. Well, Time Travel Platform would be really good.
But no,
it's TravelTimePlatform.com. You're absolutely right. TravelTimePlatform.com. What it is a map generator that will tell you how far you can get from any place in the country in 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 60 minutes. I think it goes up to like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And it's by any mode of transportation. So definitely take a look at it. We did that. We mapped it from our house. I created an image that actually highlights this. But basically, anything 15 minutes out, I would think of as your core audience.
Yeah.
Those are the people who are going to make up probably a small majority of your attendees, especially if you're in an urban environment.
Right.
But they're the ones that really are going to be your focus. 30 minutes is where you're going to get the bulk of your audience.
Mm-hmm.
45 minutes out, you've probably got nearly everyone who's ever going to go to your haunt.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of whack jobs like me and Crystal might show up. But as far as like your actual regular customers, that's probably about your boundary. And 1 hour, I would say, is the very edge of what is possible.
Right.
And practical.
Right. And this is not the huge national haunts that people make vacation trips to go to that we're talking about.
Like Netherworld and Erebus.
And 13th Gate and all of those.
Haunted Overload.
Right, exactly. They're not... We're talking about just average haunts that are awesome.
No, awesome haunts, but yeah. But yeah, so what I would do is I would take that map, TravelTimePlatform.com. I'll say it right one more time.
Yeah.
Try to make up for the mistake. And look at basically what you get in each of those zones and estimate the population that's available. And that's your potential audience.
Yeah.
I would start there. It's a really, really useful tool. Now, the question is, and going back to the original asker, they're kind of right at the outside of that range, what I would consider to be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you extend that range? How do you convince people that maybe are on that cusp? And that 30 minutes to 1 hour range where it's, they can do it, but you gotta, you know, give them a really good reason. You gotta make it really worth their while. They're not gonna do an impulse trip to your haunt.
Yeah,
in that
probably
range.
Not, no.
And, you know, these are the people that are gonna have to think about it a minute. Well, the first thing to do is offer a better time deal.
Yeah.
Focus on that time deal. Basically, offer additional attractions to either your own or other people's.
Right.
There's a reason, a very, very good reason, used car lots open in giant clusters.
Mm-hmm.
It's to create a time advantage. They know that they're probably getting people from who might be traveling far distances, often without a car.
Yeah.
Because they're selling fucking cars.
Yeah. Well, so, they might be doing trade-ins.
But you know what I mean? But a lot of times they aren't going to have cars. That's
right.
The whole point. So they might be getting rides or whatever. They might be struggling to make a making the trip.
Right.
You get a whole bunch together, and the buyer goes, well, I don't know what I want. I don't know what kind of car I want. But I know there's a whole bunch of car dealerships on this road here. I can just start there and make my way through it.
Right.
It's a better time deal to have a bunch of car dealerships together. So in a weird way, even though they're competing, it's a symbiosis.
Right. Now, we did see one haunt that was in Lafayette. It was Trail Haunt that had coupons. If you brought your ticket stub in to a local restaurant that stayed open late specifically on the nights that the haunt was open, you could get $5 off your meal.
Yeah.
And so that was nice because we went and ate there. It was good.
Yeah, it was. Got burgers. It was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, then that plays to the other things to do.
Right.
If all you've got is a haunt and it's a 15-minute walkthrough or a 20-minute walkthrough or even a 30-minute walkthrough and that's it.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to motivate people to drive an hour for that experience.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's nothing else around you, then it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. So find, and other things to do, like I said, it could be things like having food and drinks on site.
Yeah.
Hey, have a bar. If you can, you know, especially a bar at the exit, as we talked about previously.
Yes, but we don't want to encourage people to have to drive 45 minutes back after being at your
bar.
Fair
enough. But, you know, escape games, concerts, VR and experiences and whatever. Mm-hmm. These are all things that pad out the experience time and keep people on the property longer. And the longer they're there, the longer they're being entertained, the better that time value gets.
Right.
It may not make a better money value, depending upon how you're charging all this.
Yeah.
But the time value gets better because a lower percentage of the time goes to transit.
Right.
And yeah, just keep, and thinking of it that way, think even instead of like dollars per minute, mm-hmm. think of it as, you know, driving time per minute experience, if you will.
Yeah.
Look at how long people are going, look at how long they're staying there, and try to figure out if you're offering a good time deal.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing you can do is marketing.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked a lot about marketing, so I'm not going to go back and repeat everything we've said in this area. But yeah, basically, you can focus your marketing very intensely in the areas you're trying to reach into.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, we've done a ton of podcasts here, but just remember, you're going to need at least 3 touches on everyone to have a likely sale. I know that sounds creepy.
Yes, it does.
Touchy, touch, touch.
No.
But they need to hear your radio ad or see your flyer. They need to get your name in front of their eyeballs or in their ear holes at least 3 times.
Right.
And honestly, if you're trying to convince them to make the trip somewhere, mm-hmm. probably more.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would even try to promote it as going away from the city would be part of the experience because you're leaving civilization, so you don't know what's actually going to happen out there because there's not like...
Yeah, and having access. A theme, and that's the other thing, is when you do this marketing, present a theme, present something that cannot be obtained where they're at.
Right.
Like, if you're marketing into a city, promise them a rural experience, something they're not going to get in downtown New Orleans.
Exactly.
Give them something, try to give them something, then promise them something they can't get there, something they are going to have to travel for. Because mm-hmm. if you just promise them a haunted house,
mm-hmm.
well, dude, we got haunted houses here. We got a whole bunch, you know?
Yeah.
We got new ones. We got a Scream Park opening this year. We got all kinds of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I ain't got to go to the country for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one thing, one trick to pull out if you're doing this, if you're reaching into those markets, is promote how close you are in minutes.
Yes.
And say the words, just 30 minutes from downtown.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it sounds so stupid.
It does.
And we didn't put it on, oh, we knew.
I know. We were talking about this earlier, and I'm like, we're fucking idiots, because nowhere in our marketing have we put 15 minutes from downtown.
Yeah.
And we should have, and it's being corrected.
Yeah, we're going to correct it. We can't correct it on the flyers.
No.
Those are printed and distributed.
Yeah.
We can correct it on the website.
Right.
But here's the thing. Even if 30 minutes is a ridiculously long time to drive for your haunt, saying just 30 minutes from downtown mm-hmm. or just 45 minutes away minimizes it and makes people like, oh yeah, I can do that. That's no big deal.
Yeah.
And it at least minimizes the perception of the time cost.
Yeah.
And helps get them out there.
Yeah, it does. Because, you know, I see ads all the time for hotels on this side of the river. They're like, mm-hmm. just 15 minutes from downtown.
You can be in the French Quarter in 15 minutes. And technically correct, yes.
Technically, if you have a car, you can. But
or a teleporter, one of the other.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're trying to, you know, get there by public transit, it might be a lot longer.
Yeah. Uber it or yeah. Lyft it.
Yeah. Another thing you can do, though, is provide assistance in getting there. Shuttles can be a very, very useful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Consider doing a nightly shuttle from somewhere in the area. Downtown, kind of like what Lost Souls is doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, just directly your haunt. And you might even be able to do things like sell food and snacks on it. Might be able to be a revenue center, even if it's a free shuttle.
Yeah.
So something to think about there. This way,
sell your little glow necklaces and stuff on the bus so that yeah. they don't have to go through the the store part.
And you paint the bus with your logo. It's a billboard. You got advertising out of it.
Yeah.
Bingo, bango, bongo. You see?
Yeah.
Things are happening here. But no, I mean, the idea of... I really kind of dig this idea, because one of the reasons the time cost seems so high is because you're driving and you can't do anything else with that time.
Right.
You can't play on your cell phone. You can't, you know, listen to pod... Well, you can listen to podcasts, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, you could listen to us. We're Haunt Weekly.
Please don't fall asleep and crash into a tree.
Oh. Well, I mean, last year, whenever we were driving... in Atlanta, we recorded notes on all of the haunts.
Yeah. But you can't do as much when you're driving, basically. Correct. What it comes down to. And that makes it feel like the time cost is even worse. So taking the driving away from it can help.
Yeah. Well, and also driving in unknown parts is stressful.
Oh, yes. Very much
because you're trying to follow maps and stuff and you don't know where you are.
Yeah, I guess we could discuss the stress cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, consider Uber Lyft credits, if that's plausible, even. In city, that might work. Like, if you have a haunt, like, at the edge of New Orleans East or something,
right.
You might be able to do that. But it's not obviously going to work if you're trying to get someone an hour out into the country.
Yeah.
And if public transit's available, offer guidance for how to take public transit, and maybe even reimbursements for the bus fare or whatever.
Right.
A discount on the ticket if you prove you came here. Via public transit or something.
Yeah.
It can, and those types of things can help.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you can get your parking credited back to you in certain places in New Orleans.
Yeah. So, it's called validated, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. But remember, even if you do all that, it may not work. If people have haunts that are closer to them, you may not be able to lure them out of that zone.
Right.
Also, if there are more popular haunts near you, there may not be any reason that they would make the trip and then go see you.
Right. I mean, we have one fan locally who goes to one haunt multiple times a year and never visits any other.
Yeah. He's nuts.
Yeah.
Totally nuts.
Yeah.
And the other thing to worry about or consider is if you don't have a community that drives far.
Right.
I mean, Alexandria, Louisiana is going to be a very different situation than New York City.
Right.
In New York City, a town where almost no one owns a car.
Yeah.
You know, it's very different than Alexandria, Louisiana, where everyone owns a car and everyone has to be used to driving because everything that's, you know, not immediately in the city is a long distance away.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was one of the things that kind of freaked me out when I first visited Louisiana. I had to fly into Baton Rouge one time. Mm-hmm. And you and your mom acted like it was no big deal to come pick me up in Baton Rouge.
Right.
Even though that was like 3 hours away.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
But that's the different mindset there.
Yeah.
So how to find out what your range is in terms of how far people drive or are willing to drive for your haunt. If you have a haunt, get data.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the Star Trek character. Get some fucking data, dudes. Seriously, keep the zip codes from online purchases. You can also, and this is something that was pointed out by Ellie, if you have, for your point of sale purchases, you can request a zip code as an anti-fraud measure.
Right.
Keep that zip code data. Find out where people are coming from. Give surveys that ask people their zip codes that they're driving from. And also just chat up customers. Have your, you know, salespeople go and talk to them and say, hey, where'd you come from? Yeah. And make notes.
Yeah, when people are sitting there looking at your shirts and necklaces and whatever else you got for sale, they can be getting information for you, too.
Yeah, that's something that really is weird to me. People all the time, because we're usually in our Haunt Weekly shirts anyway, people all the time seek us out and talk to us and ask us what we thought about the haunts we go through.
Right.
I don't see them doing it to other customers.
No.
And when they do it to us, they never get any actionable data.
No, and even when we were in Atlanta, I don't remember anyone asking us where we were coming from.
No. They would have looked at us like we were idiots.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Even when we went to Atlanta, yeah, we made the drive to Atlanta for a whole bunch of haunts, but we stayed at a hotel that was probably 45 minutes from every single haunt we were going to.
Yeah.
We found a cheap hotel that was hidden behind a McDonald's, and it took 4 drive-bys to find it.
Yes.
Dear God, what a nightmare that was. Turns out you have to cut through the McDonald's parking lot, go past the drive-thru.
Oh my god, I'm not even making this up.
No, and then do the snaky thing in the back.
Yeah.
Windy as goddamn drive, but anyways, whatever.
But it was centrally located between clusters of haunts.
Yeah, there were 9 haunts within 45 minutes of it, easy. Yeah. But yeah, get tons of data. If you don't have a haunt open yet, long and short of it is basically try to figure out how long people are going to be at your haunt.
Yeah.
Do an estimation of your walkthrough. Think about the other activities they have.
Yes. And for your estimation of your walkthrough, get someone who hasn't been working on it to walk through it. And because you cannot accurately calculate your own walkthrough, just like it's hard to edit your own writing.
Yeah, there. I have seen places where they give estimates based on the number of linear feet you travel and whatnot. Yeah. But the truth is, even those are going to be off because if you have a lot of scare backs,
yeah,
or if you have a lot of darkness where people are going to be traveling very, very slowly,
yeah.
There's a lot of things that will cause.
Or you have wide open, bright ass trails that people just run.
And the building way down, and off in the distance they know they're trying to get to. And then, boom, they're gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I can't keep up with my group. My group just ran away.
Keep up with your group. Yeah, seriously. Yeah, no. them fuckers are fast.
Exactly.
No, I'm in my 30s. I ain't keeping up with these teenagers running. Yeah. Screw you.
Yeah. I just started jogging. I can't go that fast.
I'm doing good to get a 10-minute mile. Those assholes are gone. Anyway. What the hell are we talking about? Okay, so basically start with that estimate of your time as your one-way driving time. A 25-minute walkthrough, a 25-minute one-way drive is probably a reasonable starting point.
Right.
Then factor in other variables, things to do in the area nearby. How easy is it to get there? An easy drive feels less onerous than a difficult one.
Right.
How much marketing are you doing in the various areas? Are there competing haunts in your area or the area you're trying to pull from?
Mm-hmm.
What are, the things that you're, what's going on elsewhere, and adjust the time up and down accordingly. You may find that there's just not any likelihood anyone's going to come away from much further from the 15 minutes, or you may find you can pull people in from 40 minutes or more away.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a matter of your specific situation. And that's kind of the crux of this whole episode, is that there's no easy answer. Mm-hmm. How far is too far? I don't know. Screw you. That's basically this whole episode. It depends on your haunt. It depends on your competition. It depends upon how willing the area is to travel. It depends upon the marketing you do, both in terms of the quantity and the targeting of it, and a million other factors. Do you have potholes on your road? That's a serious question in this city.
Is there construction for like 50 miles?
Yeah. What else is going on? So, the thing I always say is this. Target the area closest to you first. Right. Prioritize it. Even if it's just a small town, even if it seems like there's not a lot of people in there, we have seen lots of haunts that have been in rural areas be very successful by appealing to their local communities and getting those... Because, hey, if it's a small town and there ain't much to do,
yeah,
then giving them something to do is going to get people that might never go to a haunt otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we went to that Cajun Country corn maze last year, and it was packed.
Every goddamn person in like a 10-mile radius was there.
Yeah, and it was weird because we were talking to them there, and they're about 20 minutes from Rise.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you cut down the trees, you might have been able to see Rise way off in the distance somewhere. Yeah,
but a lot of their customers didn't even know Rise existed.
They were just there because this was the local business and
the
local thing to do. And I think we were the only people. I think we came from New Orleans, so we were about an hour away. I think we were by far the farthest drivers of anyone there.
Yeah.
Judging from the accents and the dress style and everything, these were people from that area.
Yeah.
They didn't look like us city folk.
Oh, God.
No.
Ew.
No. But you can do that. You can make that work. You just have to find a way to make it work with your budget and with, meeting your expenses.
Right.
this, because this, the best locations to open a haunt are always cheap ones with a short drive to population centers.
Yeah.
Why do you think so many haunts open in warehouse districts?
Yeah,
You can get the square footage cheaper?
Yeah.
I don't want to say cheap, because I've seen some of these warehouse prices in New Orleans, and
yeah.
But no, you can get a place that's relatively cheap per square foot. That's where the House of Shock / New Orleans Nightmare House is in a warehouse district.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, we actually passed up on an opportunity.
Yeah.
Up near where my parents live, because there was a guy, he's like, you know, I've got this land, it's got an empty building on it.
Yeah.
You know, you can have it for a haunt. Yeah. Problem was, it wasn't near anything.
No. And by not near anything, that 15-minute rule doesn't even put us to a small town.
No. No.
Like, not even, we yeah. like to say it was near Colfax, but doesn't even, it's 15 minutes outside of Colfax.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you have not heard of Colfax, good move.
Yeah.
Good life choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep it up.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Sorry to have even uttered the name in your presence.
Yeah. My, yeah, my parents lived so rural up until recently, they could not find enough sky for satellite internet. They can't get internet at all, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least they have cell now.
Yeah.
But yeah, and if... But here's the thing. If you do have to pull people in from a further population center...
Right.
Give them other activities. Make it an experience. Make it an evening.
Right.
Don't just make it 30 minutes and you're done.
Yeah.
Make it a whole evening. Give them other attractions to go to. This is how the haunt that was in Monroe lasted as long as it did.
Right.
Was by offering a whole bunch of different attractions and yeah. other things.
It was a whole Scream Park type
thing. Yeah, of itself,
thing.
Yeah. Work with other businesses. We talked about Fright Trail.
Yeah.
Doing the deal with a local restaurant. Things like that can help. Mm-hmm. Yeah, try to make it a full evening, not just a 30 minutes and done, not just a part of an evening.
Yeah.
Because if you're telling them to drive 30 to 45 minutes out there to see you in 45 minutes to go back.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that for just part of their evening. That is their evening.
Right, exactly. And I mean, the last time we went to Mississippi to see the largest haunt...
On the Gulf Coast. On the Gulf Coast.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Remembered.
So, talking about time sinks.
Oh, man.
That was one of them. And not because the haunt was so big it took that long to get through.
No.
There was... An hour and a half or 2 hours drive there?
Yeah, I think it was closer to an hour and a half.
Hour and a half drive there. And then there was 2 hours in line.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have any throughput.
Yeah.
And then it was a 12-minute walk there?
Yeah.
12 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, there is no way we were coming out with the impression we need to do this again next year.
No, and we haven't been back.
With 12 minutes after all that. No. The time cost... Does not check out.
No. Now, I would be tempted because that was like their fourth year. I'd be tempted because it's been around for a little bit longer to check it out now. See if they've worked out any of those bugs. But I'm not optimistic.
And honestly, there's nothing else really nearby it.
Exactly. There is nothing nearby.
So we would be taking a huge gamble.
Yes.
To give them another chance.
The best part of that trip was finding a random Whataburger.
Oh, God, that was
on
awesome.
The way back.
That was awesome. So, yeah, next tip to get people to go to your haunt if it's outside of be near a Whataburger. Or an In-N-Out. There you go. We solved the problem. We're done here. We can back it up.
Steak and Shake.
Steak and Shake will work too, yeah. Steak and Shake will work too, man. God. But yeah, no, this is such a good question, and it really... Because it immediately sparked a conversation between us.
Right.
And we just kind of halfway through the conversation said, you know, we should record this.
Right.
Rather than, you know, giving it to nobody, we should actually record it and get an episode out of it.
Yeah.
So we did.
Yes.
Yes, that's what this was. Well, on that note, everyone, thank you for joining us down this journey of ambiguity lane.
Yes. Sorry we don't have hard answers for you, but there are none in life, really.
No.
Well, I guess there are a few, but... Not this time.
Not this time around, at least. But thank you very much for joining us. Once again, this is Haunt Weekly. You can find us at hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Please follow, like, subscribe, share, all those things on those sites. I forget what social media does. Also, tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. If you missed an episode, maybe it's not in your podcast player, nap off there. You'll find it. Mm-hmm. The entire archive is there for your perusal. And until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode number 147, asking the question, how far is too far? We'll see you guys next time, which is 148, divisible by 4, so we're doing
the news.
We'll see you then.